Be turning in your Bibles, please, to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be directing our attention to the very heart of the Christian religion. We're going to be talking about giving. You may find that strange to call that the heart of the Christian religion, but that's where it is. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then Jesus, having come, tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we find instructions throughout the New Testament regarding this great grace of giving. It's called a grace, not an imposition. It's called a grace, not a duty. It's an opportunity to show an expression of our love. For when we love, we will also give. I find it very disturbing and very soul-searching to think that this particular subject would be that which the elders approved for this month of our year. For just this past week, I find in my own life, I discovered a reluctance to give of myself to others that I knew were in need. And once again, I was reminded that we need to grow in giving. I need to grow in giving. And when the elders presented the 15% increase in the budget, I found myself thinking at first, well, I'll just sit this one out this year. I've responded every year so far to their leading, and I think I'll just sit this one out. But I can't. You may have to, but I'm going to find a way not to sit it out. I'm going to find a way to give. So we're going to be directing our attention to this heart of the issue, the heart of the Christian religion. And right now is a critical time to learn about giving, for most of us, that is. Those of us who are older, if we are giving as we should be giving, if we're giving sacrificially and meaningfully, it's because we learn to give that way at an earlier age. It's my conviction that you don't learn how to give sacrificially when you've reached 45. It's very difficult to learn that lesson at 45. That lesson is learned at 18 or 19 or 20. And those of you who are giving 15, 20, 25, 30%, and there are some who are. You didn't learn how to do that overnight, nor did you learn it in your later years. You learned it early. I learned the principle of giving when I was a freshman at Memphis State College. It wasn't an easy lesson to learn. But during my years of early growth as a Christian, I decided that I would begin my giving at 10%. After all, I could not justify giving less than what the law required the Jew to give. The law would not allow the Jew to give less than a tenth. That was God's. How then could I justify giving less than what God required the Jew to give? He didn't even have Jesus Christ. I do. But there are a lot of temptations that would cause a person to not want to go that route. There were temptations then. I didn't have it, I thought. But I made the resolution I was going to give in spite of the fact that I didn't think I had it. God never will let you go without being blessed if you'll commit yourself to him like that. You see, Satan has so many wiles, so many deceptive ways of leading people astray to where they'll waste their lives and waste their substance and waste their means until they finally end up wasting their existence and wasting their purpose. And then we're lost here and now and then there. But one of the most outstanding traits of Satan is the fact that he's a liar. Satan's a liar. A bald-faced, out-and-out liar. Jesus says that he is even the father of lies. That Satan is actually the father of the lie. He's where it originated. And the lie with which he has deceived the world and the majority of the church is simply this, and it's very simple. The things that you possess are your own. That's a lie. But he's deceived the world into believing it. What you possess, your material possessions, belong to you. And he's deceived most of us who are Christians. What you have is yours. It belongs to you. And so he's repeated this lie over and over and over. And I know the ears of Jesus must have been offended on countless occasions by people talking like this. This is my house. This is my horse. This is my money. This is my field. This is my time. This is my allowance. And people are no different today than they were then. We're all susceptible to this deception of Satan. Have you fallen for it? On one particular occasion in Luke the 16th chapter, Jesus was teaching his disciples some lessons. He had just finished talking to them about the prodigal son. He had finished telling them about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then it says he taught them another parable. And the first 15 verses of chapter 16 tell us that he was teaching them a parable about the unjust steward. But in verse 14, if you look over at verse 14 in that 16th chapter, it says, after he finished this now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all of this, and they scoffed at him. You know what it means to scoff at somebody? You say, oh, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. That's stupid. That's what it means to scoff. To say that they just disbelieved it would have said, you know, they maybe shook their head and say, I can't believe that. But it says they went beyond disbelief. They scoffed at him. Oh, they said, that's the silliest thing. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Well, what in the world brought out that kind of a response from these lovers of money? Well, it was this parable. A certain rich man had a steward. And charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, what am I going to do, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I'm put out of the stewardship, the people will receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest steward for his prudence. For the sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal habitation. What an odd passage. Do you know what it means? What an odd parable. I believe that of all the parables that Jesus taught, this is the strangest one of all that's recorded. You see, it talks about possessions. It talks about our money. or at least it talked about his money. It talked about responsibility, which is really what stewardship is about, your responsibility for handling properly what is placed in your possession. It talks about all of these, and it concludes by saying, make friends by means of money, unrighteous mammon, so that whenever it fails you, they may receive you into the eternal tabernacles. What in the world is he talking about? What is this parable trying to teach us? All right, let's look first at the parable. I'm going to just tell it again so that you won't miss the story itself. This man had a steward. The rich man had a steward. Now, a steward is one who is in charge of somebody else's possessions. The word comes from the Anglo-Saxon, and the word originated as a stiward, a man that was in charge of somebody else's pigsty. They said he was a stiward. And it came then down through the years to be steward. And then anyone who is in charge of anybody's pigsty or funds of money is called a stiward or a steward. Now, the purpose of a steward is to so wisely direct the expenditures and the use of the money of this man who owns it that he brings more return to the one that possesses it, really, who owns it. He's just himself a manager. That's a steward. But this steward was accused to his master. Someone came to him one day and said, "Sir, do you realize that this man is wasting your goods?" And perhaps the man suspected it all along. His return hadn't been very great. And so he called the man in before him and said, "What is this that I hear about you?" And no doubt the man said, "Well, what?" And he said, "These people have come and told me that you're wasting my goods." He said, "You'll have to give an account. Get your books in order. Turn in the account of your stewardship. You can no longer be steward." The man didn't argue. It seems that there was no defense to be given. He himself was convicted out of his own heart. He knew he'd been wasting it. He knew that he'd been living high on the hog. He knew that the master's return really wasn't all that hot. He knew that he had a good thing going, that he had feathered his own nest. He knew all of that. He knew that he was really failing in the job that he'd been hired to do. He knew it well. And it shook him up. And he said, "What in the world am I going to do?" He was being fired. "What am I going to do? When I've lost this job," he says, "how am I going to live?" And he began to run over some options. Perhaps digging. "No, I'm too weak to dig." And that would include any kind of manual labor, laying brick, whatever. "I'm just too weak for manual labor." And then he said, "Well, I could beg." He thought, "No, I'm too proud to beg. I'm ashamed to do that." And then he had a brainstorm. He said, "I know what I'll do." And he called up John first, and he said, "John, come in quick. On your way home from work, come by to see me." When John came by, he said, "John, I know your times are hard, and your wife isn't well, and inflation I know is eating you up, and I know that you owe my Lord some money. How much do you owe him?" The man said, "Well, 100 measures of oil." "Why?" "Oh," he said, "I'm steward here now, and I know you're having hard times." He said, "You just take your check and write down 80. We're going to discount you 20%. "No, this was 50. "Write 50, he said. "That's 50% discount." Well, the man got his checkbook out immediately and wrote out that check for 50 measures of oil and gave it to this man and said, "I don't know how to thank you." Well, he called another one in. "Jack, come in quick. I need to see you." Jack came by the place of business and he said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "I know that you've had an operation recently and you've been off from work, and I sympathize with you. I want to do something for you, and it's within my power as a steward. I can do this if I wish. How much do you owe my Lord?" He said, "Why, I owe him 100 measures of wheat." He said, "Well, Jack, I appreciate your friendship. Why don't you just take your check and write me out 80? Don't worry about I'll give you a 20% discount. Why, this man was overjoyed. And then he took every one of his Lord's debtors and did this, and thus indebted those people to him. And then he took the books and gave them to his Lord, and his Lord saw what he had done, and he commended him for his prudence, and then fired him. Do you know what he did after he lost his job? Where did he go first? He went to John's house, knocked on the door, stood there with his face hanging down. And John said, "What in the world is the matter with you?" He said, "I've lost my job. I wonder if I could come in for a while and stay with you." What could John say? "Well, sure, I'm glad to have you." Because he remembered what he had done for him when he let him write the check for 50 instead of 100. And then when his welcome wore out there, where do you reckon he went next? He went to see Jack. And he said, "Jack, I've lost my job. I'm down on my luck. I just don't have any money. I wonder if I could come in and stay a few days with you." And so one by one, he began to go by and cash in on what he had done while he was still steward. And it was this that his Lord commended him for, his prudence. He didn't commend him for dishonesty. He didn't commend him for wasting his substance. That had been done prior to this. This was prudent investment. He had quit wasting and had started investing. And that's what made Jesus say, "Now, the sons of this world, head for head, generation for generation, tit for tat, you know, one for one, they are wiser than the sons of light." You know why? Because sons of the world will invest to ensure their future. They're going to see to it that as much money as they can invest is going to be laid aside and put in a savings and put in policies and put in bonds and put in investments. Why? Because they're looking to the time when they're going to be too old to work. They're going to be too old or too weak to dig. They're going to be too ashamed to beg. They're investing in those future commodities, though, or in the future, so that whenever the time comes that they need to be being supported, they'll have it. Now, the sons of the world will do that. Jesus saw that same wisdom in this man who had been convicted of being wasteful. And then he had the wisdom to invest so that whenever he lost his job, the people to whom he had given these kindnesses would be indebted to him and would have to say to him, "Come in, you're welcome." And then Jesus makes this odd statement to us. He says, "And I tell you something," talking to us Christians, talking to his disciples. He said, "I want to tell you something. You better make you some friends by the use of this money so that when it fails you, they'll receive you into the eternal tabernacles." But what's he talking about? Well, the application, or the, let me tell you the interpretation of the parable. Look at your Bibles now. There was a rich man. Who is this rich man in this parable? Who is he in the application? He's God. God is the rich man. And he had a certain steward. Who is the steward in this parable? You are, young man. Young lady, you're the steward. I'm the steward. Sir, you're the steward. That's the application of this parable. God is the rich man. You're the steward. I'm the steward. Every last one of us in here who is a Christian is the steward. In fact, whether you're a Christian or not, you're a steward of what God has given you. Well, what are the goods? He was wasting his goods. Well, the goods are your monthly support, your monthly finances, what you have to live on. That is the goods that you have. And the stewardship, this job of yours in managing this, is your lifespan. It's that period of time during your life when you are in charge of these goods. They've been laid into your lap. What are you going to do with them? "What is this I hear of you," he said, "this jerking them up
this bringing this man to account, he comes to us and says, "What is this that I hear of you?" Well, you say, "What do you mean?" He said, "I hear that you're wasting my goods. And perhaps we don't know it. Perhaps we're not aware of it. But I'll tell you something. We're aware that we have it pretty good. We're aware that we're even feathering our nests for the future. We're aware that we're living pretty high on the hog. We're aware that we've never gone hungry. We're aware that a great part of the earth is starving while we sit here in the lap of luxury. We're aware of that." And this rich man says to us, his stewards, "What is this I hear of you, that you're wasting my goods?" How are we wasting them? Well, I don't know how you're wasting them. You'll know. You'll know whether last month you spent more on Rock Records than you did on the Lord. You'll know that. I don't know. You'll know whether you spent more on clothes last year than you spent on the Lord. You know that. I can't judge your books for you. You'll have to judge them yourself. You'll know whether you spend more on pleasure and more on entertainment and more on whatever than you spend on the Lord. You'll know whether the gross overview of your whole expenditure is so profoundly out of balance with what your responsibility is. You'll know that whenever God says, "What is this that I hear about you? You've been wasting my goods." You'll know that. And you won't offer any opposition either. You won't offer any defense. You know that he knows. And so he says, "You render the account of your stewardship. You can't be steward any longer." What is this warning and when does it come? Listen to me. The warning is this morning, right now. You see, this man didn't have any example to go before. He didn't have someone to come and tell him. There was an account of a man that had a steward, you know. He didn't have anybody to come and give him this. This man was told, "Render the account of your stewardship. You can't be steward any longer." But you and me today, we've received this man as an example. And so today, you and I are being told the same thing this man was being told. Render the account of your stewardship. Get your books in order. The time will come when you're going to be put out of the stewardship. You're not going to be able to be steward anymore. Well, when is that time? When is the day that I lose my stewardship? What is that interpretation? It's the day you die. The day you die, you no longer have access to these funds. Someone asked, "How much did old so-and-so take with him?" Or, "How much did he leave behind?" I think it was. "Yeah, how much did he leave?" He said he left it all. When he died, he left every last penny. He didn't take a cent with him. This death of ours is that point in life where we lose our stewardship. Now, in between today, right now, when we're being told, "What is this I hear about you?" Between today and the time that we lose our stewardship is that time when we go get our books. We go get our checkbook. We go get our accounts. We go get all these things and get our books in order. And we're faced with this traumatic decision and this soul-shaking decision. How in the world am I going to live when I've lost this stewardship? What am I going to do? I'm going to lose these things someday. I'm not going to have access to them anymore. I'm going to be kicked out of this stewardship of life. How am I going to live after I get out yonder and over yonder? Oh. We say, I'm too weak to dig and I'm too ashamed to beg. But we say, I know what I'll do. So that whenever I'm put out of the stewardship, they'll receive me into the eternal tabernacles. And we call the widow down at the end of the street and we say, I know you're having a hard time. Let me help you. I know you don't have much income. Let me help you now. And she's so thankful. And we call up the missionary overseas that's struggling to stay alive and we say, let us help you. The college church wants to send some money to you and I want to get in on that and I want to be a part of that. Let us help you bear your expenses. And they're so tickled. And the orphans that we find living in the world, we say, let us help you. We want to take some of our... Well, now, as long as I'm steward, I have charge of these funds now, and I want to help you. And so they all say, oh, beautiful, wonderful. I'm so thankful. And then, having taken all the Lord's debtors that he has, and you can find one on every block in every house in this world, having taken all those large debtors, and with that part of his steward, or the stewardship that's given to me, with that part of the funds, I say to these people, every one of them, I want to be a part of your life. I want to help you. And then the time comes when the obituary in the paper says, died last Friday at 2 o'clock in the morning, James S. Woodruff. He lost his stewardship. And I left this body, say, I leave it when I die. And I go over there. Yes, who is it? It's your friend, Jim Woodruff. Well, well, come in. I remember when you were on earth with me. Do you remember the time that you gave me thus and so? Yes. Or let's put it in your name. Hello, I'm John Jones or John Doe. Oh, John, come in. Do you remember the time when I didn't have any food on my table? Yes, I remember. You were the last resort, and here you came bringing this food for my children and me. Yes, I remember. And I'm thankful that I had that opportunity. They said, please, come on in. You can stay with us as long as you like. Now, that's what this parable is all about. Now, I want to ask you a question. Will you be as wise as that steward was wise? You are a steward. You've been given certain funds. And if you're like most people, you're wasting them. And if you're like everybody, one day you're going to lose the stewardship. But if you're like this wise man, you will take now today's warning, and you will begin to say, well, by the way, I'm going to stop wasting my goods and I'm going to start investing them. How do you invest in eternal things? You invest in eternal things by giving, by helping, by assisting, by sacrificing to help the widows and the orphan and the poor and the missionary and the gospel preaching and the teaching and the church work. You sacrifice by helping in all these areas. But let me tell you something. You almost have to learn this when you're young. It's hard to learn it when you're old. Because you've got 4 or 5 children depending on you. And you've always lived within 99% of your budget, say. And you've given maybe a penny of that budget to the Lord. But when you're just single, when you're 19 or 18 or 20 and you don't have a wife, and you don't have any children, you may not have but just a small pittance to spend as your allowance, but you don't have anybody depending on you. And so if you'll learn right now, and then for those of us who are older, it's even more critical because you don't have that much longer in your stewardship to do something with it. The people who wait until they're 50 to invest have to really invest heavily if you expect to live on it. And so it is with this parable. Jesus is simply saying here, lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. And he tells it in the parable of the unjust steward. Did you understand? You understand this lesson? I haven't missed it because this is our warning. From this point until the time that we die is the time during which we'll prove whether or not we really and truly believe that Jesus knows what he's talking about or not. Now listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees scoffed at him. That's the silliest thing I ever heard. What'd you do, Jesus? Run out of stories and you have to invent something like this? Things are getting kind of skinny, aren't they, Jesus? You don't have much to tell anymore. And you're talking about people. What's the matter, Jesus? That's the craziest story I ever heard. Uh-huh. You're going to prove whose side you're on, and I will too. Whether you'll take sides with the scribes and the Pharisees, the lovers of money, or whether you listen to Jesus and let him know by the way we act from now on, I believe you know what you're talking about. Thank God for this example. All right, let's make a decision. And you'll make one perhaps this week or next week, but let this be lying on your heart as we begin to think, what is my responsibility as a steward? We're going to sing an invitation hymn. It may be that you've been so wasteful that it's become so obvious that people know you are wasteful. And you may want to come and say, look, I've been completely wasteful and I want to do something about it. I want to state publicly that I want to give my life, and I'm starting today. Or it may be that you're not even a Christian, and you realize that you also are a steward of your time, a steward of your life. What are you going to do with it? Will you keep on wasting it? Or will you come rededicated to Him who gave you the life? Think about it seriously. God loves you. He's given you this warning for your good and for mine. Let's stand and encourage one another.